Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What must we do to inherit eternal life? Do we really have to follow all 613 rules? Will God still love me if I fail? They don't seem to worry about any of these things, so how does it that God could love them? What's the bare minimum? That minimum daily allowance, and can I even meet that? See, these are the kinds of questions and conundrums that we can wrestle with. Questions that plague us all the time. They can haunt us and bother us without remorse as they come again and again and again, because as humans, we want to know, we want to help, we want to participate, and we want at least some control. Today we celebrate Reformation Sunday, and we recall the tectonic shift inspired by Luther and the Reformers. The shift in the faith life of Christians, because those reformers, they too wrestled with these questions. As a young man, Luther saw God as an angry judge who would never see a single good thing in Martin. Luther was sickened unto death with thoughts of guilt before a system of religion and superstition that was the Roman Church of his day. He was hobbled and afraid. He was angry and trapped with no way out. Later in his life, inspired by some of the very scriptures that we just read today, Luther's vision of God changed. And he clung to one very, very important word, grace. Grace is an amazing word that is defined as undeserved love. Today, from Scripture, we hear that it is God's decision that we are forgiven, we are justified, we are set free. In reading the Scripture, Luther realized that God always makes the first move. God always chooses to love and care for us, even when we don't deserve it. Our Bible readings today show us this amazing truth that is grace. Jeremiah was a prophet bearing God's message to a people heading into exile. These who were going into exile, they had relied on their own wisdom and their own strength. They had relied on their own negotiating skills and wealth. The rulers were convinced, as were so many of the people, that so long as they kept the sacrifices going, God was going to be okay with what they did and didn't have to bother them anymore. Jeremiah warned of refusing to listen to God. Jeremiah warns of refusing to love God and love your neighbors. Jeremiah was showing us that if we think that we can do it for ourselves, that's just not true. We have broken that former covenant, the Sinai covenant, and we're in trouble. But Jeremiah promises today that our concerns and the trouble that we're in will be transformed by the grace of God. The message from God that Jeremiah brings is that even though we broke the old covenant, there will be a new covenant written on our hearts, fueled by God's love and forgiveness. God acts first. God's love will win. That's grace. Also today, we hear Paul ask if we are still under the law. Are we still worried and striving to make ourselves known to God by our abilities and actions? Hey, God, look at me. Are we still worried and striving to justify ourselves in God's eyes by what we do or what we know? For Paul, that's impossible, because we are all guilty. All have fallen short of God's glory. And it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, slave or free, male or female, all have sinned and all are justified by grace. We are justified, not because of anything that we do, but because of what Jesus did and still does for us. It is the love of God acting first that saves us from ourselves. We are justified. That is, we are found not guilty by the grace of God through the faith of Jesus, the faith that is then given to us as well in grace. You see, throughout history, from Jeremiah and long before, through the times of Jesus and Paul to Augustine and Luther and Bonhoeffer to this very day, we humans have believed that we need to earn God's favor and attention. We strive to show ourselves in the best possible light. We compare ourselves to others, striving to be better and thankful that we're not that bad. We come up with rules and laws, with suggestions, requirements, and instructions to shore up our chances and to condemn others. We are always trying to justify ourselves and climb a ladder to get closer to God. And what we hear in Scripture today, what Luther and the Reformers discovered, is that all of that effort is useless. We cannot justify ourselves. We cannot earn forgiveness. We do not deserve a new covenant, but for grace. And in our gospel today, Jesus tells us that by following Him, we will know the truth and that the truth will set us free. What truth? What truth is Jesus talking about? It's the truth of God's love for all. It's the truth that the life of that Jesus lives shows us exactly how God loves, how God behaves, and how God sees us all. And that truth then infuses us with a worth in the eyes of God. No matter how sinful we feel, no matter how rebellious we feel, God's love is first and foremost, and by that love, we are freed. Now, the leaders that Jesus is talking with claim that they've never been servants or slaves, so why do they need to be free? Jesus reminds them and us that all are enslaved to our sins and are imprisoned to our covetous desires. We require freedom. We need to be freed from our sins, freed from our selfish desires, freed from the sins of others, and washed clean. Jesus promises it all. In God's love, we are forgiven and free. But we are also freed for the sake of our neighbors. No longer bound to our prejudices, we can discover our neighbor's need and help as we are able. We are free to care for and assist those we discover. We are free to live lives of gratitude and praise that share God's love and build God's kingdom for all around us. If the Son makes us free, we are free indeed. You see, this is the joy-filled gospel message that Luther and his followers discovered. Rather than the frightening and superstitious demands of the church of their day, they proclaimed a freedom based on God's love, on Jesus' life, and on grace. By grace, we are saved through faith, not through works, so that we do not boast. Jeremiah encourages us with a new covenant written in our hearts, promising forgiveness. Paul inspires us by reminding us that God's righteousness, that is, our right relationship with God, is a gift in Jesus Christ, a gift that justifies us before God and then sets us on paths to share God's love. Jesus then today tells us the truth. God loves you. Jesus loves you, and we are free by that love, and we are freed to live it, breathe it, share it with everyone that we can. This is the heart of the Reformation that we celebrate today. Now, in his small catechism, when Martin Luther wrote his explanation to the Lord's Prayer, he concluded that explanation by talking about the word Amen. Now, amen does not mean here endeth the prayer. It is also not goodbye in Hebrew or that's all, folks. Amen means let it be so. So from the thoughts and intentions, the requests made in the Lord's Prayer or any of our prayers, to the gift of Jesus' presence when you receive the elements in Holy Communion, amen is an amazing response. Let it be so for me. Let my life be so filled with God's gifts that we will naturally share those gifts with all people. As we celebrate the insight, the truth, the gifts from God discovered in the Reformation, may we all say and live a heartfelt amen.